Chaim Agadjantiv, So there's no Yontif like Lag Boimer. There's no Yontif quite like Lag Boimer. Every Yontif has its heroes, every Yontif has its tzaddikim. But a Yontif where the entire mohos, the entire identity of the Yontif is nothing but singing the praises of the tzaddik and trying to connect to the tzaddik. There's no Yontif like Lag Boimer. So the question is like this: What's the avoda of Lag Boimer, a Yontif that's kuloi singing the praises of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Just in a few minutes, we'll sing Bar Yochai, and even like that, does we don't have nigunim like that for other tzaddikim. So what's the inyan of Lag Boimer and the hiskashrus to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? What's that avoda? It says in pasuk, "Bitchu b'Hashem adei ad, bitchu b'Hashem adei ad." Trust in Hashem forever. Forever and forever. Bitu Hashem Adiyah. In the Shara Kavonis, the Arizal was Megala, that pasuk Bitu Hashem Adiyah contains the secret of Lag Boimer. Without going into why and how, the Arizal was Megala that throughout the entire period of Sfiras Omer until Lag Boimer, it's a time of Din. It's a time that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died, as we know. And the name, one of the Shemus HaKadoshim that's associated with Midas HaDin is the name Elokim. So the name Elokim is very strong in Sfiras Omer until Lag Boimer. Comes Lag Boimer, the reason was Megala, that there's a Hamtokas HaDinim, there's a sweetening of judgments, and the name Elokim is manipulated to soften it. How does one soften the name Elokim? How does it become softened in Lag Boimer? So the reason was Megala, that the way the name Elokim becomes softened is by each letter of the name Elokim being replaced with its preceding letter. And the way it works is like this. Elokim is Aleph, Hey, Yud, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem. That's Elokim. So Aleph doesn't have a preceding letter. So Aleph always remains Aleph. The Endemem, at the end of the name Elokim, the preceding letter of an Endemem is a regular Mem. So basically remains a Mem. The middle letters of Lamed, Hey, Yud, that becomes changed with its preceding letter. So Lamed becomes a Chof, Hey becomes a Dalet, and Yud becomes a Tess. That's the name of Elokim. So it's manipulated to Aleph, Chav, Dalet, Tess, Mem. The Gematria of that name, that new name of Elokim of preceding letters, is Gematria Ayin Dalet 74. And that's the site of Bidchu B'Hashem Adei Ad. And that's Lag Boimer. So the reason was Megal, the name, the Shem Kodesh of Lag Boimer is that permutation name of Lakim, which is the Machi of Ad. And it's the site of Bitachon. That's Bidchu B'Hashem Adei Ad. That's what Jesus says. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean in your name? What's the avoid of such a thing? To imam take the name of Lakim by its preceding letters, Machi of Ad, and Bidchu, and the name of Bitachon. What does that do to Lag Boimer exactly? Right, so we know everyone knows the Gemara says in Shabbos, the whole Maaser of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he comes out of the cave. So it takes some time for him to sort of come to himself. And the Gemara says that what happens is, finally when he leaves the cave after the 13th year, so the Gemara says that him and his son Rav Loza, they come out of the cave and it's almost close to Shabbos, right, late Friday afternoon. And the Gemara says that Mamish at the moment before Shabbos by Bein Hashmashes, Friday afternoon, night Bein Hashmashes. So the Gemara says that Shimon and his son, Chazil and Husaba, they saw this old man, Davakaroyet, and he was running in the streets, cutting home for Shabbos by Bein Hashmashes. The Gemara says, famously, that he was holding two bundles of Hadassim. So Shimon stops him, Shimon asks him, What are these to you? What do you need this for? So he said, look up at Shabbos. So Shimon asked him, what do you need to? Zohar Rashomer. So Shimon says to his son, Ru kama chaviv mitzvah Yisrael. Look how beloved mitzvahs are to Yidden. That an old man will run the Kavod Shabbos with two hadassim. He's not just with one, two. Kama chaviv mitzvah Yisrael. And siyah shvadayitam and yishvadas. And the rest is history. And Rav Shimon begins to conquer the world with the Ur Shel Mashiach. So what's this in this story of a Mustaba that's running with, to Agasim and Dafka that time of Ben Ashmash is before Shabbos? Alright, so let me share with you an idea that we find in the Kisvei Ari. This is I've mentioned this idea maybe once before. But to a certain degree, I think this is like the oimik of what Lag BaOmer really is about. One of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei that we say every day is Al Tzadikim. So it says Al Tzadikim, Al Chassidim, and so on and so forth. We daven to Hashem, Tzadikim, Chassidim, Plato's Beis Ephraim, and so on, all the holy Jews. Rabbanu Shem should give good things to them. Saints of Hartov, Chalboitchem, Mishim, Chabamas, and so on. And then we say, Vesim, Chalkeinu, Imon, that our portion should be amongst them. So the reason on Shark of Hanai says the question, what does that mean? What type of tefillah is that? So the tzaddikim have a big chelik in Adam Haba, the tzaddikim have a big portion in Elikos, and we're davening with saying Chalkeinu Imam that we should have a chelik in that. The manushach, if you're a tzaddik, you'll get it. If you're not a tzaddik, so what does it mean with saying Chalkeinu Imam? What type of tefillah is that? So listen to what the Arizal says. Just a few lines, it's kedai. It says like this, Amam HaKavani, it's in Shark of Hanai. The Kavani is as follows. So sometimes Chas V'Shalom a Yid falls into something that's no good. And sometimes the person falls into an Avera that creates a block from their own Madregas that they have acquired with preceding mitzvahs. And those Madregas that they have from preceding mitzvahs is now blocked by that Avera. And it blocks the Schar, not just an Adam Haba, but the Schar. In this world, the sensitivity to Elikos, the Madregas and Avodas Hashem that you rightfully own becomes blocked because of one's own shortcomings. Sha'at milagi aloi, and it stops one's own Madregas from reaching them because of their Averis. So what happens to those Madregas? So you can't access them. The person can access them because of their Averis. But those Madregas exist, so what happens to them? Where do they go? Just they remain dormant. So said the Arizal, Hine Beini Beini, in the meantime, Kol's man shaloi shav b'tshuva, until this Yid does tshuva, so what happens to those Madrigas? So Oysen ha'oiris, those oiris, ha'molochim, v'asanigorim, ha'nefroim, ha'de oysen ha'mitzvahs, all those Madrigas and oiris and so on, and shefa that the person created through their mitzvahs, but now they can't access it. So nitnim lish tzadik haruim eilav, k'fi ma'shagazir chachmasi yizborach. The Rabbanu Shem takes your Madrigas and he gives it to a certain tzaddik. A tzaddik that's maybe related to you in terms of neshamas. It's the pasuk, he quotes the pasuk, Yochin Rasha, the tzaddik Yilbash. The Rasha prepares and the tzaddik wears it. So he says like this, Omnam, however, Yesh Eza Tzaddikim Gedoli Hamayla. There's two types of tzaddikim. There are some tzaddikim that when they receive other people's Madrigas, they take it and they hold on to it. And they hold on to it. And they're not necessarily so willing to give it back. But there are some very, very big tzaddikim. That they don't really want other people's madrigas. They want their own madrigas. And when they are forced to take madrigas from other yidden, that are those other yidden unable to access their own madrigas because of their own averus. So this type of tzaddik only holds it as a pikadim. The kashi yeshuva baalei mitshuva, and when the rightful owner of those madrigas does tshuva, yavzir lehem. This type of tzaddik will give it back to them. Oysam arish alochem, and those oiris that he received from them. Lochein onu mispam lufanu yisparch. That's the tefillah that we're davening. We mentioned al tzaddikim, al chassidim, al ziknei sheres amcha beis Yisrael, and so on. All the different types of all the different great yidden, and then we daven. Now what? Kihine mechrochem onu lachtoi. There's such a thing a yid falls. That's the way it works in life. A person falls, and it's only a matter of time until at some point, to whatever degree, one's madrigas become inaccessible to them, and they're going to be given to tzaddikim. Lochein oisim ha'oyrish al chakinu begarileinu. And therefore, these madrigas that we have, that are now going to be given to tzaddikim, what we're davening for is that they should be given to the tzaddikim that are going to be willing to give it back to us. So he says, "Yasinim im tzaddikim habidoylam v'chassidim arishum anal." They should be given to the tzaddikim and the chassidim that we just finished talking about in this bracha. The types of tzaddikim that will give it back to us, that they should be able to remain active in the meantime. And kasher noshev b'tshuva, when we do tshuva, it'll be returned to us. And that's what it means, v'simcha kenu imohem, that our chelek, our madregas, should be placed amongst the tzaddikim we just talked about, the tzaddikim that are willing to give it back to us. That's the kavanah of simcha kenu imohem. And the reason it says a person should have that in mind, every time he daven. It's interesting, later on in Shaar Kavanos, by Shabbos, by the bracha of Yismach Moshev Manas Chalkai, the Arizal over there, this goes back to this idea, and he gives an example of a tzaddik like this, and it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He brings up from Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu by the eagle, so obviously Moshe Rabbeinu didn't partake of the eagle. All of Klal Yisrael lost their ksarim, they lost their crowns of Nasa v'Nishma. What happened to them? So Chazal say they were given to Moshe. And that's what the Rizal says. That means that the same model over here, that a person loses access to the Madrigas, so it's given to the tzaddik, to a tzaddik amiti. But Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Neman. Moshe Rabbeinu is trusted, and he's a trustworthy servant. And therefore, when the Rizal says every Friday night, by Bein HaShmoshes, the crowns of Nasa v'Nishma, the Madrigas of a Yid, that maybe they weren't able to access all week long, is given back to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself returns the crowns of the Jewish people to us Friday night, Bein HaShmoshes. That's the language of the Arizal. He says, it's just a beautiful lashon, it's kavod to hear it. The Arizal says like this, also by Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and also by Yismach Moshe Van Nisvelkei. He says, Bekol Erev Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, L'Akbar Mefol's Erev Shabbos is here, Bevoy Leil HaShabbos, right by Bein HaShmoshes, when Leil Shabbos is coming, Chayzer Moshe Rabbeinu l'kachas. Moshe Rabbeinu gets his own madrigas that maybe was taken away from him, and once he has his, Machzul Yisrael Eisam Arish Lokech Michalkem. He returns to Klal Yisrael what he was given to hold on to. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to describe that Moshe Rabbeinu by Bein HaShmoshes descends from Elam Haba with all the tzaddiki emes that are merkusha from Moshe Rabbeinu to give back the madrigas to all of Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. That's the title of the bracha. Yismach Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is satisfied with his own chelik. He doesn't need to hold on to everyone else. He's happy to just hold on to it, to safeguard it. But he's not going to hold on to it forever. Why? He have an emma cross the light because he's taka trusted. And therefore, because he's trusted, he's the one that you should give the crowns to. And that's the kavana going back. That's the simcha kenimon. So you daven simcha kenimon, that all the madrigas that a person might not be able to access, but it has to be given to someone, simcha kenimon. Let it go to those tzaddikim that are going to give it back to us when we're able, when we're ready for it. Outcome, that's what the result says. So here's the shayla. How do you know, where in the previous part of the bracha does it indicate that we're talking about those types of tzaddikim? The result said there's two types of tzaddikim. They're both tzaddikim. There's one type of tzaddik when he gets a matana from other people's madrigas, he holds on to it. And then there's another type of tzaddik that when he's given those madrigas, the Moshe Rabbeinu take a tzaddik, when he's given those madrigas, he's uncomfortable with it, he doesn't really want it, he holds it for the time being, but when you're ready, he'll give it back happily. The simchal ken imon. And our chela, we wanted to go to those sides of tzaddik. Where in the previous lines of that bracha of al tzaddikim does it indicate that we're talking about that category? It says al tzaddikim, al chassidim, and so on. That refers to all the tzaddikim, including the ones that would be happy to hold on to our madrigas. So what's the simcha kenimon? Where does it indicate that we're talking about those tzaddikim? So the Rizal doesn't say. I didn't see them before. The Mefarshim, I didn't see anyone mention it. Leave me on really. I think this is the pshat. What's right before that line? So it's al tzaddikim, chassidim. You go through the list of all holy Jews, Geri Tzedek, Aleinu. And then we say the same sachar toiv that Hashem should give a good schar l'cholabaitchim b'shimcha b'emes to those that have bitachin, to those that trust in your holy name. B'simcha kenimon. What does it mean, those that are b'tech, those that trust, those that have trust in Hashem's holy name? What's Hashem's holy name? Why doesn't it just say same sachar toiv l'cholabaitchim b'cha? Or Hashem. was beshimcha beshimcha be'emes. The answer is shimcha means the Shechina. The shame of Hashem means the Shechina. The Shechina is a code word. What is it? What's another synonym for the Shechina? Knesset Yisrael. The same Sachar Toiv. What type of tzaddikim have we been talking about this bracha? Tzaddikim, achzidim, and so on. What type of tzaddikim? The same Sachar Toiv, the types of tzaddikim, not just that no shas and paiskim. The same Sachar Toiv, l'chol apoitchim, the shem chavemes. Those tzaddikim that trust the Jewish people. They have bitochen and confidence in the Shechina HaKadosh. There's something that's called Kudsha Brichu. There's something that's called the level of Elikus that's infinite, the level of Elikus that fills the higher worlds. That's not a question of, that's not bitoch. That's amuna. A person has amuna in Kudsha Brichu. And there's some tzaddikim that they believe in Kudsha Brichu. But then there's other tzaddikim, tzaddikim gedolim, that Rizal says. Tzaddikim gedolim, that besides believing in the light of God that's infinite, and besides believing in the infinite God that exists in the higher world, they also believe in the Shechina. They also truly, truly trust the Shechina. See, to trust means that at least there's a havamina of something going wrong. In Kudsha Brichu, nothing could go wrong. Tzur Tam and Poloi, that Bechina that's called Tzur, which is Kudsha Brichu Tam and Poloi, it's perfect. There's no havamina of anything going wrong. It's either you believe or you don't believe. But once you believe, there's no issue of bitachar or not bitachar. But then there's something that's called the Shechina. The Shechina HaKadosh means the level of Elikus, the light of godliness that fills the Jewish soul. The light of godliness that is the Jewish soul. That's not an issue of Emunah. That you see. You see the Jew next to you. You see the Jewish people. We're part of that world. That's not Emunah. What's the Nisayon over there? Bitochen. Bitochen doesn't mean to trust what? Bitochen means to trust that at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. At the end of the day, the Jewish people have always been holy. And at the end of the day, it's going to work out. And at the end of the day, it's going to be revealed that the generations of all time were Kulei Zakai and Amich Kulam Tzadikim. And you can trust the Jew. And you can trust the Jewish people. And you can trust the generation that you're in. Those Tzadikim that not only have a Munah in Kudsha Brichu, but have Bitochen in the Shechina. That's the tzaddik that we can trust that is going to give our madrigas back to us. Why? Because even when he receives those madrigas, he knows it's only a matter of time until we earn it back. Those of the tzaddikim that have amunah in elikus and kudsha brichu but don't have bitochen in the shechina, chas v'shalom, then when they're given the madrigas of Nishmas Yisrael, they're like, okay, you know, I'll be kind. They do my Sikinyan. Because Lav Dafka, is this yet ever going to earn it back? But those Nishamas of Tzadikim that are Moshe Rabbeinu did. And this is the mile of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the pnimis hanakuda of Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu is his bitochen in the Shechina. In him knowing that the site of the Shechina and the site of Knesset Yisrael is the highest thing in the universe, that even Kudsha Brichu in truth emanates from the Shechina to a certain degree. And the entire revelation of Kudsha Brichu is because the one that you can't even name, the side of the Rabbanu Shalom that you can't even have a word for, foresaw the Shechina and foresaw the Jewish people, and because the Jewish people was willing to manifest himself bebechinas Kudsha Brichu to begin with. This is the side of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what it means to change and to convert the name Elokim to with its preceding letters. What does it mean a preceding letter? It means when you look at a hay. So you see a hay. But that hay, does it still have within it an aleph, a beis, and a gimel, and a dalet? Or are those preceding madrigas, those preceding experiences completely lost and shut off and not accessible anymore? Is it possible that the dalet behind the hay can't be accessed? If a person thinks that you can't get the dalet behind the hay, that the madrigas that a person acquired once upon a time but seem to have been lost, are not able, there's even a possibility of not being able to get them back, that's not the tzaddikim that we're makasher ourselves to. That's not Simchok anymore. The name Elokim until Sviras Omer, which is Talmidei Rabbi Akiva that died, the 24,000 students, the Rizal says the 24,000 students are the corresponding 24 tzirufim of the name Elokim. Shalinogu Kovid Zelos, are they not the lack of Kovid that they had towards one another is because, why didn't they have Kovid towards another? Because they know exactly what their Chaver knows. They didn't believe in there to be anything behind the scenes. The Soid of Lag Moimer is to take the name of Elokim and to say, behind the Lamed is still the Chav, and behind the Hay is still a Dalet, behind the Yud is still a Tes. And this is the soid of bidchu ba'avaya adeyad, to have bitochen in the Rabbanu Shalom forever and ever. But not in kuchabrichu, you don't have bitochen in that. Bitochen means in the Shechinah Kedoshah, in Knesset Yisrael, in yourself, in the Yid next to you, in the generation that the Rabbanu Shalom put you in. And those, and when a person has such confidence in the Jewish people, in themselves, in Nishmas Yisrael, in the Shechinah Kedoshah, then when you approach Lag BaOmer and you sing songs of Bar Yochai, and the whole Avodah of Lag BaOmer is what? The Simchakeinu Imahem. So the whole Avodah, from beginning to end, the 24 hours of Lag BaOmer is one long cry, Rabbanu Shlomo, I have a lot of madrigas that I can't access. I've done a lot of mitzvahs in my life, but it's stuck because of my averis, because of my timtum alei, because of my thickness, I'm unable to access the madrigas that are rightfully mine. So they have to go somewhere. The answer is, give it to Bar Yochai, give it to Reb Shimon. Because Reb Shimon is a tzaddik in Bechina Moshe Rabbeinu, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is that tzaddik that has bitochen b'shimcha gadol, the great name of Knesset Yisrael. And the entire void of Lag BaOmer is, like I said before, you know, you write a kvitl, your name, what are you doing? You're giving yourself and all your madrigas to Reb Shimon. See, Reb Shimon, you access it, you activate it, hold on to it, keep it, you know, keep the engine running, keep things working, and when I'm ready, I'll get it back, and I'm confident you'll give it back to me, because you know that it's only a matter of time until I get ready. It's only a matter of time until I get shuv and everything works out. That's what Simchal Kenimon, that's the tzaddik. That's the tzaddik we want to be makasher ourselves to. This is exactly what Reb Shimon Bar Yochai saw when he came out of the cave. When did he come out of the cave? He came out of the cave Davka at that moment that he saw this old man running, Dena Shmosh's Erev Shabbos, the exact time where the Ari HaKadosh was Megala, the Nishmas Moshe, the censor of Olam Haba, with all the tzaddiki emes, to give back the crowns to the Jewish people, to give that back our ksarim, to give back our crowns. And all of a sudden you have a Yid who's old, who went through an entire week of schlepping, a week of what? A week of not being able to access his madrigas, not being able to access his youth, to not being able to access of where what he was originally. And all of a sudden comes Ben Ashmashes, he finds himself with the energy of youth, he's able to run like a young man. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai sees in this a simon min hashamayim, that you could have confidence in Knesset Yisrael. That it's not just a matter of Dai Loilam, that he says to his son, me and you is enough for the world. No, you could trust Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael's going to make it. And this is where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai saw that old man by Ben Ashmashes was being returned. He was given back. He was being given back his koiches. He was being given back his crowns, which means that even though it looks like on the outside that maybe he's old, that itself was on talk of that itself was a sweetening of the name of Elokim. The name of Elokim accessing its previous letters, just like the old man accessing the energy of his youth. This is the end, you know, he's holding two adasim. I mentioned this the other night, that perhaps one can say that the two hadasim, the word hadas, the Rizal says in Shar Kavanis by the Kavanis of Sukkah, by Reuven Esrei, that the word hadas equals Begamashia, Eke Havaya Eke. Eke Havaya Eke, which is also the Gamashia, the word Chayim, and it's also the Kavanis of Tfilin. Kavanis of Tfilin. Kavanas of Tefillin is, whatever, why this is not for now, but the Kavanas of Tefillin is the name Eke, Havaya, Eke. On Shabbos we don't wear Tefillin. But the site of the Hadassim, that this Yid is running with, the two Hadassim, is the site of the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad. It's Gal Pershama also. And what this Yid is, the Magal Terb Shimon, you know, the Arizal says in Shaar Kavonis, what's the site of Tefillin? The Arizal says an amazing thing, that the site of Tefillin is yesterday's Madrigas re-emerging in today. The iris of the Tefillin that sort of breaks out of one's own skull, so to speak. What Tefillin are is really yesterday's Madrigas that now comes today, is you're busting from them. It's like mamish overflowing from yesterday's iris. So this Yid, those iris of Tefillin, which is the secret of the Hadassah, the fragrant smell of the Hadassah. The fragrant smell of the Hadassah means the smell and the aroma of yesterday's avoid, of yesterday's madrigas, that maybe right now are not popping out like Tefillin. And maybe all it is just an aroma, just the smell, just the scent. But that scent is enough for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to realize, Ruh kamach aviv mitzvah Yisrael, look how beloved Yiddishkeit is to a Yid, that no matter what happens, ultimately, he's going to come back. Ultimately, he'll make it back. And that's the avoid of Lag Baimer. The avoid of Lag Baimer is to give yourself over to Rav Shimon, but also to become, at least be makash oneself, to be like this type of tzaddik, to trust Knesset Yisrael, trust Knali, Kol Yisrael, trust the Shechina Kedosha. To believe in the generation right now, and not to say Chas Shalom or to think anything negative about Knesset Yisrael, not to think or to say anything negative about Yidden, and to judge everyone favorably, and to paskin, like I mentioned many times, to paskin, Bebechinas Bezim Shalmaila, that every single Yid of the generation is worthy of redemption, Kifle Kiflayim. And every generation increases in Kedusha, increases in strength, and to believe the Emunah Shleima, and with absolute bitachin, that this generation is going to be the generation that ultimately becomes, reveals itself to be worthy of Gula, and Gula Barachimim, and even on the outside, one can claim Kula Yichayiv, but a person has to have bitachin, that's not true, the truth is Kula Zaka. And that's the avodah of Lag Baomer. That's the secret of Lag Baomer. Of bitchu ba'avaya adayar, to have that bitachin. And when you realize this, then the dancing before Rav Shimon takes on a whole new element. Because you realize that, wow, if the generation is so amazing, it's so unbelievable, that Yidden, after thousands of years, and after all the tsaris and all the hester panim, and chayshech kafu mechupo, and adarabi, we still believe in God, we still want Mashiach, we still want Gula, we still want the Lakos, we want to connect the Torah and Avoy, we want to connect the Tzaddikim. Such a generation was never such a generation like that. By its very definition, every generation is more chayshech, and afal pikin, we still want the Lakos. So every generation is never a generation like that. And then all of a sudden you realize, one second, when I'm giving myself and all the neshamas connected to me over to Rav Shimon, b'simcha p'yon imohem, so until now I'm thinking that it's l'toy vasi, it's for my own benefit. Thank God, I'm giving it to Rav Shimon, who's going to give it back to me eventually. But then you realize, one second, neshamas like this even Rav Shimon never had. Madrigas like this even Rav Shimon never had. I still trust him to give it back to me. But v'simcha p'yon imohem, the whole avodah of Lag Baomer then becomes an unbelievable schus that Rav Shimon has to receive neshamas of Yidden of Tavshin Pehei. Neshamas like this, Yidden that have seen crazy things, and have experienced crazy things, b'rfatu b'chlal, and afal pikin, all we think, and all we talk, and all we do, that is a likus. Such a thing never existed. Such neshamas never existed. So what are the schus that Rav Shimon has, and all the tzadikiyamas, and Moshe Rabbeinu, that they have the schus to have our chelek? Of course we want to give it to them because they'll appreciate what it is that they're getting. It's not just that they're going to give it back to us. They'll appreciate what it is. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if you give a matana, you have to let the person know what you're giving. That's the secret of Lag Baomer, to be besimcha, to have confidence in Knesset Yisrael, to have confidence that despite what a person sees with their own eyes, everything is good and everything's going to work out, and it'll be misgala, that amechon zadik and mamish. And to have unbelievable simcha in the fact that we're giving Rav Shimon Bar Yochai a shaychus to such a generation. That's the Iker Simcha, the Iker Avodah Lag Baomer. I'll tell you just 10 with a quick maaser. Is not sure if it's not such a live bio ma'aseh, but we'll do the best we can. The ma'aseh goes like this. The Rebbe Marash of Lubavitch, so there was one time that he would travel a lot. Whenever he would travel to a certain location, maybe the summers and so on, he would go on a particular route. And the route that he would take, he would always pass by a certain house. So it's part of the route. He never stopped by, he doesn't know who's there. But that was part of the route. One day that he's traveling, he tells the driver, take a stop over here, I want to visit this house. Okay. So he gets out of the wagon, him, the gabayim, and so on. They go, they knock on the door. Knocking, knocking, knocking. No one's there. Eventually, after a few minutes, the door opens, and it's two little kids. Two little kids by themselves. And so the Marash asks them, like, what's going on? Where's your father? My father's out working. Where's your mother? And she went shopping, she'll be back in a little bit. Marash says, what about a Rebbe? Are you in school? Like, he says, this is Benaz Manim right now. It's on vacation. Okay, so they're home. So Marash asks them, and how old are you? Okay, so one is 7 and one is 5. So he asks the 7-year-old, what are you learning? Learning Chumash. And the 5-year-old, what are you learning? Learning how to read Aleph Beis. So the Marash looks at this, looks at the scene, thinks for a minute. The Marash says, you know what? Both of you, you know, we should do something together once I'm here. The Marash says, so maybe let's say Tillim together. Okay? The kids don't know what's going on. But the Marash takes out a Tillim. He says, I'll say the words and you repeat after me. We'll say Tillim like this. That's what he does. So he gets to say Tillim. The Marash is saying Tillim. Big avodah. It's going on like this a few minutes, and eventually the mother, she comes home, but she sees a wagon, the chassidim, sees a whole tumult going on. So she asks, what's going on? They tell her, the Rebbe of Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash has visited your house, and they sing Tillim with the kids. So she doesn't want to interrupt. So she goes from the back door, and she goes in, and she sees, it's unbelievable avoidance. The kids are just saying Tillim after the Rebbe. The Rebbe is crying. Big avoidance. So she's completely nisragish from the whole thing. She begins to cry and saying Tillim with them. It becomes the whole... And eventually, okay, after a few minutes, Rebbe says, okay, fine, very good. It was a beautiful Tillim. Now I have to continue on my way. Fine. So Rosh says goodbye. He goes to the door. He stops by the door. Kisses the mezuzah. Stops there. Waits for a minute. And he says, you know what? Maybe one more kibbutz Tillim. So he goes back. And he does the same thing. One other kibbutz Tillim. After that, okay, fine. Now he goes. So no one has any idea what this is about, but the wife, the mother is very excited to tell the husband when he comes home from work what type of experience they had today. So he comes home, let's say he usually comes home at 6, I don't know, whatever. 6 comes, he's not home. Okay, he's a little late. 6:30, still not. 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I was getting nervous now. 12 o'clock at night, still not home. 2:30 in the morning, eventually... They hear footsteps coming to the door. They're all petrified. The door opens. It's the husband. He's completely just emptied out. And he just collapses on the floor. What happened? To make a long story short, when they revive him, he tells what happened. So this guy's job, his malach was one of the less, you know, the least wanted jobs was that he was, one of the things that he would do was collect taxes for the parties. Not a very pleasant job, especially when you're going to amongst the Daisha peasants over there. So, to make a long story short, one of the people that he was going to collect from, the person was a farmer, and so this person wasn't home, and the wife said he's out in the back in the fields, whatever, so this Yid made a mistake. Instead of going by himself, he should have gone with somebody anyway, but he goes and eventually finds this guy, he tells him what he's there for, this guy goes ballistic. Really goes ballistic, starts beating him up, and says, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, and the Yid is trying to beg for Rachmanis, to the point of where this farmer, this peasant, this guy, ties him up, and says, I'm gonna finish the job, and he's looking around for something to use. Baruch Hashem, the Yid's mazel, he couldn't find anything, over there, so he just tied him up, and, sort of left him there. And went back, staggering away, to go find something from the house to use to finish the job. In the meanwhile, while this is happening, the wife of the farmer just happens to go to the area while the husband wasn't there, just to get something, whatever. And she sees the scene of this guy tied up and all bloodied and the whole thing. And so figures out right away what's going on. She knows her husband. And the Yid is saying, please, I'm Tommy, God, let me go. I have a wife and kids. This is... So she's like, what am I going to do if I do that? My husband's going to find out, he's going to kill me. So he says, but you have to let me go. I can't go like this. So she says, okay, we have a few minutes. Fine. But I'll untie you. I'm going to run away. I'm going to pretend I don't know anything about that. But just don't run. Because if he sees you running, he'll catch up to you. Hide in the field. So that's what she does. She unties him. And he goes out in the field. He stays there and waiting hours and hours until the night comes. And he can sneak away. While he's waiting there, this guy, this Russia is walking around looking for him. And this is Mazel, the guy was mamish standing right over him, a few inches away, and he's saying Vito, he thinks it's over. But Baruch Hashem, this guy just passed by, didn't notice that this Yid was mamish a few feet away in the hay, in the bushes. So eventually the guy gave up, he goes home, night falls, and this Yid is able to stagger home. By the time he got home, he was completely so just wrung out. And that's what happened. And so his wife says, well, that's an unbelievable day. But I'll tell you something, Mistama, how it happened. So you had two miracles happen. First of all, the wife found you and she taught you. And then the second time, you were in the fields and this guy never found you, even though he was a few feet away. That's how you were able to survive. The Rebbe Marash showed up today and said Tillim with our kids. And he said Tillim twice. The first Tillim, he said, that was to save you from the house. And then when he went to the door, he said, no, Nachatib of the Tillim. That was to save you from the fields. Chevron, we have a lot of big tzaddikim davening for us. A lot of big tzaddikim davening for us. Because they need us. Rishon Baruchoi, all the tzaddikim yames, all the gedolim from yesteryears, they're not bringing Mashiach, they're not bringing Gula, they're not bringing more lakus into the world. They can't do it anymore. They can't do a mitzvah, they can't learn any more Torah in this world, they can't be Mekadeshim Shemayim, they can't be Mechazik in Aliyah, they can't say good morning, they can't be Besimcha in mitzvahs, they can't do Avodah. They can't bring a lakus. The only ones that can do it is us. Now, the Rachmanis is, we get tied up in all sorts of things. We get stuck in fields and Zachin, and we wait till it's the perfect time that we can sneak away. We're being saved because all the tzaddikim are cheering us on and davening for us. Not just the big tzaddikim, but the children also. Every Yid that ever exists in the previous generations, once you get to Olam Emes, you know the truth. And the truth is that the Yidden of the generation that's existing at that time is Mamish Gevaldik and Muslim. And they're davening for us, and they're mechazik us. We have to believe in that, and when we celebrate Lag B'Omer, we're celebrating the belief in Knesset Yisrael, and the belief in the Tzaddikim in us, and the belief in our, and celebrating our belief in them. V'simcha k'nei mo'am. The Rebbe Moshe should bless each and every one of us, that we should be zeichet to be meskashet to Tzaddiki Emes, to those types of tzaddikim that are boichim, b'shimcha, b'emes, and we should be zeichet, we makash ourselves to them, to find our strength, to find our madrigas, and we should give them nachas, we miskash to them, we should have nachas ourselves, we miskash to us, the Rebbe Moshe should bless each and every one of us, with shefa, bracha, v'atzlocha, ad b'lidai, we should be zeichet to see with our own physical eyes, the return of Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh, b'vinyana, with b'yis mishiyat, z'kidu, rachamim, me'er, v'meinu, Amen.